When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Auf Grab genommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of The Mystery Frequency. If you want to reach out, please use my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my social media, Mystery Freak, F-R-E-Q on Twitter, Mystery Frequency on Instagram, or the comments on Spotify. It'd be great to hear from you guys. And also, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. All of those are easy to do, and once you do them once, you don't have to do it again. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Dramatized for radio in 7 episodes by Barry Campbell. Part 1, The Betrayal. Starring Andrew Sachs as Edmond Dantès, Nigel Anthony as de Villefort, Steve Hodson as Fernand, Jeffrey Matthews as Danglars, Paul Gregory as Caderousse, Leslie Sands as Monsieur Morel, Melinda Walker as Mercedes, and Alan Wheatley as the Abbé Faria. Marseille, February 1815.
Whatever
it is? Monsieur Morel, it's the Pharaoh. She's been signaled.
The Pharaoh? This is good news. Quickly, my hat.
Yes.
Must get down to the harbour. Quickly, man!
Look out there! All ready to drop anchor!
Aye, aye, Mr. Morel!
Monsieur Morel! Oh, I will come and greet him!
Welcome home, Dantès.
Thank you, monsieur.
But why so sad? And where's Captain Leclerc?
Alas, sir. Captain Leclerc is dead.
Dead?
Of a fever, sir.
The cargo?
That's all safe, sir.
Leclerc died of a fever, you say?
Yes, sir. 24 hours after we left Naples, he was attacked by a fever, and 3 days later, he died.
Alas, Edmond, we're all mortal, and the old must make way for the young.
Yes, sir. Will you excuse me one moment, sir?
Oh, by all means. I know you have much to do. I'll talk to the purser while you're away.
Thank you, sir.
Monsieur Dongba!
Well, Monsieur Morel, you have heard of the misfortune that
has fallen us. Yes, poor Leclerc. Yes. He was a brave and honest man.
And a first-rate seaman, sir. Grown old between sky and ocean.
Indeed. But it seems to me, by the way the ship was brought in today, that a sailor need not be so old to know his business. Our young friend Dantès seems to know his job.
Now that is so. Why, scarcely was the captain's breath out of his body than he assumed command without consulting anyone. And he caused us to lose a day and a half at the Isle of Elba.
As for taking command, that was his duty as captain's mate. But as to losing time at Elba, he was wrong. Unless the ship needed some repairs.
The Pharaon is as well as I am, and as I hope you are, sir. And a day and a half was lost from pure whim. For the pleasure of going ashore. Nothing more.
Dantès!
One moment, sir, and I'm with you. Lower that pennant! Half mast high!
He fancies himself captain already.
And so, in fact, he is. Well, why not? He's young, it's true, but he's a very experienced seaman.
Your pardon, sir. I'm at your service.
Excuse me, sir. I shall be at the rail when you need me.
Now, Dantès, I wish to know why you stopped at Elba.
Why, I do not know. It was to carry out the captain's last instructions, sir. When he was dying, he gave me a packet to deliver to the Grand Marshal.
The Grand Marshal? You saw him, Edmond?
Yes, sir.
And how is the Emperor?
Well, very well, as far as I could judge.
You saw Napoleon.
Sir, he entered the Grand Marshal's apartment while I was there.
You spoke to him?
It was he who spoke to me. He asked me many questions about the ship. I believe that had she not been laden, and had I been the owner, he would have bought her. But I told him I was only mate, and that she belonged to the firm of Morel and Son. Ah, he said, I know them. There was a Morel served in the same regiment with me at Valence.
That is true. That was Polisar Morel, my uncle.
Indeed, sir.
I must tell him that the Emperor remembered him. It will bring tears to his eyes, Edmond. You were quite right, my boy, to follow your captain's instructions to land at Elba. Although, if it were known that you had conveyed a packet to the Grand Marshal and had actually conversed with the Emperor, it might get you into trouble.
But how, sir? For I did not even know what was in the packet. Oh, a bit your pardon, sir. Here are health and customs officers coming alongside.
Of course, of course. I mustn't keep you from your duties.
Well, sir, has Dantès given you a satisfactory explanation for his conduct?
Most satisfactory.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, it was Captain Leclerc who gave orders for the delay.
Ah, yes. Talking of Leclerc, has Dantès given you the letter from him?
Letter? Why, no. Was there one? And how do you come to know this?
I just happened to be passing the captain's cabin, and I saw him give Dantès a packet and a letter. The packet, I presume, is the reason for the stop at Elba, but the letter...
He didn't mention it, but if there is a letter, I'm sure he will give it to me.
Oh, then I beg you, sir, not to say a word to Dantes. I may have been mistaken.
No, of course. Ah, here he is. Well, Edmond, you were not detained for very long.
No, sir. I gave the customs officers a copy of our bill of lading. They seem quite satisfied.
Then you have no further business here?
None, sir.
Good, good. You must come and dine with me.
Please excuse me, Monsieur Morel, but my first visit is due to my father.
Oh, quite right. You're a good son.
Do you know how my father is, sir?
Well, I believe, but I have not seen him lately.
That proves he is wanted for nothing in your absence, Dantes.
Well, then, when you have seen your father, we shall expect you.
Again, I must beg you to excuse me, since there is another visit I'm most anxious to make.
Of course, I was forgetting. A beautiful Mercedes. Edmond, you have a very handsome mistress.
She's not my mistress, she's my betrothed.
Sometimes one and the same thing. Not with us.
Well, then, do not let me detain you. You have done well. Do you need any money?
Thank you, no, sir. I have 3 months' wages.
You're a thrifty fellow.
Say rather, I have a poor father. Well, I will leave you.
Oh, by the way, did Captain Leclerc leave a message for me? A letter, perhaps?
He was not able to write, sir. Oh, but that reminds me, I must ask you leave of absence for a few days.
To get married?
Yes, first, and then to go to Paris.
Paris, you are going up in the world, Dantes.
A few days, you say? There's much to do, but... Of course, take all the time you need, my boy. Only remember, the Pharaon must not be left for too long without her captain.
Her captain?
If I were sole owner, I would nominate you this moment. But as you know, I must first discuss the matter with my partner. But rest assured, I shall do my very best for you.
Congratulations, Dante.
Monsieur Morel, I thank you in the name of my father and of Mercedes.
Good, good. Now off you go. See your father.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm coming. Nothing's fit to wake the dead. Whatever I...
Father, I've come home.
Edmond.
What is it, Father? Are you ill? Here, come and sit down and rest.
Ill? No, not ill, my son. It's the surprise of seeing you so suddenly that I...
Come, cheer up, Father. Here I am, home again. We shall be happy together.
Happy? Oh, yes, so we will. But come, tell me. All your news.
Well, Father, unfortunately, Captain Leclerc is dead of a fever. But it is probable that with the aid of Monsieur Morel, I shall be made captain of the Pharaoh. Only imagine, Father, a captain with more pay and a share of the profits.
Captain? Yes, Edmond.
What is it? What's the matter?
It is nothing. It will soon pass.
Come, a glass of wine will revive you. Now, where do you keep it now? Let me see.
There is no wine.
Well, no wine, and only empty cupboards. Father, have you wanted for money, then?
I want for nothing, now that you are here.
Yes, but I gave you 200 francs when I left.
True, Edmond, but you forgot our debt to neighbor Caderousse. He reminded me of it. He was going to see Monsieur Morel, so I paid him.
But it was my debt. I owed Caderousse 140 francs.
Yes.
So, you've lived for 3 months on 60 francs. Oh, Father.
You know how little I require.
Heaven, pardon me. Oh, here. Father, take this. Take this and this. Take it. It's yours. Yours. Buy food and wine.
Gently. Buy a leaf. I will use your money moderately, or people will say I've been obliged to wait your return in order to buy food.
No, do as you please. Oh, by the way, I've smuggled a little coffee and some capital tobacco in my sleeve chest. You shall have it tomorrow.
Ahoy there! Ahoy, Captain!
No more talk of smuggling. Someone's coming.
It's Caderousse. No doubt he's heard of your safe return. He's come to congratulate you.
Ahoy, Edmond!
Come in.
Oh, is it you?
Come in.
Oh, well. And more, is it really you? I met Dongla. He told me you were here.
Yes, here, neighbour, and ready to be agreeable to you in any and every way.
Ah, thank you. But fortunately, I do not want anything. And it chances that at times there are others who have need of me.
Ah, but you're lonely.
I do not allude to you, Edmond. No. I loaned you money and you returned it like the good neighbour you are, and so we're quits. But I see you've come back rich, my boy.
This money is not mine, but my father's. Come, put it back in your box, father. Unless, of course, our neighbour needs anything.
Oh, no. I need nothing. Oh, thank God. Keep your money, but I'm obliged to you for the offer. Well, Edmore home again, and in favour with Monsieur Morel, I hear.
He's been very good to me.
Now, then you were wrong to refuse to dine with him, eh?
You refused to dine with Monsieur Morel?
Yes. But I might the sooner see you again, Father.
But it must have vexed old Morel, especially now that he's going to make you captain. To be captain, one must give way a little to one's patron.
I hope to be captain without that.
Oh, so much the better. Nothing will give your friends greater pleasure. And there is a certain Catalan who will not be sorry to hear it.
Mercedes?
Yes, Father. And with your permission, now that I've seen you, I ask your consent to visit Mercedes.
Go, Edmund, and heaven bless you and your wife, as it has blessed me and my son.
His wife? She's not his wife yet.
No, but she soon will be.
True. But you were right to return as soon as possible.
Oh, why?
Because Mercedes is a very fine girl, and a fine girl never lacks admirers. But now that you are to be a captain...
Never fear, Caderousse. I know Mercedes. And captain or not, she will remain ever faithful to me.
So much the better. But go now and announce your arrival.
I will. I'll go at once. Goodbye for now, Father.
Goodbye, my son.
Goodbye, Caderousse.
Goodbye. On your way.
Well, did you see him?
I've just left him. He's gone to visit Mercedes.
Did he mention his hope of being made captain?
Oh, he spoke as though it was already decided.
He is in too much of a hurry. No doubt he's very pleased with himself. Well, he's not captain yet.
It'd be better if he never is made captain. There'll be no speaking to him. He's already acting as though he was some grand personage.
If we choose, he will remain what he is. Huh? Perhaps become even less than he is.
What do you mean, Dongla?
Nothing. I was speaking to myself. And so, he's still in love with the Catalan.
Oh, head over heels. But, unless I am much mistaken, there will be a storm in that quarter.
A storm? Uh-huh. Come, tell me. It might be important.
Well, just that every time I have seen Mercedes recently, she's been accompanied by a tall, handsome fellow she calls cousin.
Really? And do you think this cousin pays her attention?
Well, I only suppose so. Well, what else can a fine young man of 21 mean with a lovely wench of 17?
And you say Dantès has gone to visit her?
Well, he went just before I met you.
Then let us go the same way. We will stop at La Réserve and drink a glass of wine together.
Very well. But you buy the wine.
I agree. Come along, my friend.
Well, Mercedes, here is Easter coming round once again. Tell me, is this the moment for a wedding?
I have answered you 100 times, Fenon. And really, you must be your own enemy to ask me again.
Repeat it, then, I beg of you, that I may at last believe it. Tell me again that you refuse my love.
Fenon, I have always said to you I love you. As a brother. But do not ask me more than sisterly affection, for my heart belongs to another.
And perhaps I ought to wear a varnished hat and a striped shirt. Instead of a fisherman, I will become a sailor.
What do you mean?
I mean that you are cruel and harsh with me, because you are expecting someone who is thus attired. But perhaps the one you await is unfaithful. Perhaps he has been lost at sea.
Fenon, I believed you to be good-hearted, but I was mistaken. Oh, you are wicked to say such things. Yes, I do await another, and I do love him. And if he does not return, I know that he died loving me and only me. I understand you, Fenon. You'd be revenged on him because I do not love you. Believe me, to seek a quarrel with a man is a bad method of pleasing the woman who loves that man. But understand this. I love Edmond Dantès. And none but Edmond shall ever be my husband.
But what if he is dead?
If he is dead, then I shall die too.
And what if he has forgotten you?
Mercedes! Mercedes! Edmond! Oh, you see? He has not forgotten me. Here, Edmond! I am here!
Mercedes! Oh, Mercedes! My love!
Oh, your pardon. I didn't see that there were three of us. Who is this gentleman?
One who will be your best friend. For he is my friend. My cousin Fenon.
Ah.
Do you remember him?
Oh, yes, of course. Your hand, Fenon. No? Mercedes, I didn't realize that I would meet an enemy here.
An enemy? In my house? Why, if I believed that, I would go with you this instant and leave this house forever.
And I shall.
And should any misfortune occur to you, dear Edmond, I would cast myself into the sea. But you are mistaken, Edmond. You have no enemy here. There is no one here but Fenon, who will grasp your hand as a devoted friend should. Fenon?
Oh, I am wretched. Wretched!
Oh, Fenon! Come back!
Fenon! Here, Fenon! Where are you running off to? Are you in such a hurry that you ignore your friends?
Caderousse,
sir. Come! Here is Danglars, just returned from Smyrna.
Won't you join us? We have a full bottle.
Come, sit down.
Yes, thank you.
That's here, have a drink.
Thank you. I'm sorry, you called me. What?
I called you because you were running like a madman, and I was afraid you were going to throw yourself into the sea.
Oh, God, Caderousse. I am so wretched.
Well, what's all this? Although, I must say, you do look uncommonly like a rejected lover.
Nonsense. Lad of his mate was not born to be unhappy in love. Why'd you make fun of him?
Oh, God.
Only look how he sighs. Oh, come, hold up your head and talk to us. Tell me, how's your health?
My health is well enough.
You see, Danglars, young Fenon here is a good, brave Catalan and one of the best fishermen in Marseille, and he is in love with a very fine girl.
Really? I congratulate you.
A very fine girl, Mercedes. Mm-hmm. But it appears that she is in love with a mate aboard the Fagot.
Yes, Dantès.
And as the Fagot arrived today, poor Fenon here has been dismissed by the lovely Mercedes.
Ah, I see.
And what about it? Mercedes is free to love whoever she chooses.
Oh, but I thought you were a Catalan. They told me that Catalans were not the sort of men to allow themselves to be supplanted by a rival.
Mm.
I was told that Fenon here especially was terrible in his vengeance.
A lover. It's never terrible.
Poor fellow. Perhaps he didn't expect Dantès to return so suddenly. He thought he was dead, perhaps.
Here, have another drink. Drown your sorrows. But poor Fenon here is not the only person put out by the fortunate return of Dantès. Where is he, Danglars?
No, you're right. And I should say that will bring him ill luck.
Well, never mind. In the meantime, he marries the lovely Mercedes. Tell me, when's the wedding to be?
Oh, it is not fixed yet.
No, but it will be, surely, as Dantès will be captain of the Fagot. Hey, Danglars. Oh, well, now, let's fill our glasses. And drink to Captain Edmond Dantès, husband of the beautiful Mercedes. Let's have another bottle here. Oh, who do I see coming this way? What's this? Look, Fenon, your eyes are better than mine. I know wine is a deceiver, but I should say it was two lovers, hand in hand. Do you recognize them, Fenon?
Dantès and Mercedes, please, let them be.
So it is.
I didn't recognize him at first. Dantes!
No.
Edmond Dantes, and you too, lovely lady. Come this way, let us know when the wedding's to be. Well, Edmond, did you not see your old friends? Are you too proud now to speak to us, eh?
Oh, my dear Caderousse, I'm not proud, but I am happy, and happiness blinds, I think, more than pride.
Good day to you, Madame Dantes.
That is not my name. It bodes ill fortune, they say, to call young girls by the name of their betrothed before the wedding. Call me Melstedes, if you please.
And when is the wedding to take place then, my friends?
As soon as possible. Today, all the details will be arranged at my father's house, and tomorrow, or the next day at the latest, the betrothal feast will take place. You will be there, I trust.
Is Fernand invited too?
Caderousse. Oh. Melstedes and I should be very sorry if you were absent at such a time.
Today the arrangements, tomorrow the betrothal feast. You don't waste any time, Captain.
Oh, do not call me Captain yet. That also may bring bad luck.
Oh, I'm sorry. I only meant to say you seemed in a hurry.
Yeah, we're always in a hurry to be happy. But it is not selfishness alone that makes me hasty. I must go to Paris.
Ah, you've got business there, have you?
Not of my own. I have to carry out the dying wishes of Captain Leclerc.
Of course. Well, have a good journey, my friend.
Ah, but come, both of you. Join us in a glass of wine, eh?
Thank you. But no.
No, no, we must go to see my father. Another time, perhaps. Oh. Another time.
Well, then, good luck. Good luck. Here, drink up, Fernand. We must toast the happy couple.
Well, Fernand, here is a marriage which does not appear to make everyone happy.
Drive me to despair, my friend. I love Mercedes.
And yet you sit there tearing your hair instead of seeking to remedy your condition.
But what can I do, Dunlap?
I know it's not my business. I'm not in love with the girl, but...
Seek and you shall find.
Oh, I would stab the man.
But Mercedes told me that if anything happened to Dante, she would kill herself. And before she should die, I would die myself.
That's what I call love.
Only death can separate them.
Ah, you talk like an idiot. Here is Danglars, a deep fellow, a clever fellow, who will prove to you that you're wrong, eh, Danglars?
You are drunk, idiot yourself.
Let him run on. Drunk as he is, he's not far out in what he says. Hmm? Absence severs as well as death. And if the walls of a prison were between Dantes and Mercedes, they would be just as effectively separated as if they lay under a tombstone.
Why should they put Dantes in prison? He hasn't done anything wrong.
Hold your tongue. Fernand, you understand, there is no need to kill him. Still, it's no business of mine. Why should I meddle?
I don't know why you should meddle, but I do know this. You have some personal hatred against Dantes, for he who hates is never mistaken in the sentiments of others.
Ah, your hatred against Dantes? Uh-huh. Nothing of the kind. Well, if you'll excuse me, I...
No! Don't go, please. Stay. It is of little interest to me what you feel towards Dantes.
Mm.
I hate him. So do you, but find the means, and I will execute it, provided... It is not to kill him.
Who talks of killing Dante?
Who said a word about killing, Muttonhead? Do not interfere. Here, drink some wine.
Yes, to Dante, the new captain.
The means, Dantlar, the means.
Here are pen, ink, and paper.
Another drink, Fernand.
No, thank you.
Dinner. I've always had more dread of ink and paper than of a sword and pistol.
Yes, he's not as far gone as he pretends to be.
Hmm? More wine, Caderousse.
More wine.
Uh-huh. Idiot. So you have paper and ink. What now?
What now? Let me see. If... After a voyage such as Dantes has just made, and in which he touched the Isle of Elba, if someone were to denounce him as an agent of Bonaparte...
Yes, I will. I will denounce him.
Yes, but they will make you sign a statement and confront you with him.
Dantes cannot remain in prison forever. And when he comes out, we'll betide you.
Oh, my friend, I wish nothing better than that he should seek a quarrel with me.
So that Mercedes will detest you forever should you harm him? No! If we resolve on such a step, it would be much better to take, as I do now, this pen and write with my left hand. So.
The public prosecutor is informed by a friend of the throne and religion that one, Edmond Dantes, mate of the ship Fallon, arrived this morning from Smyrna. After having touched at Naples, he was entrusted with a packet for Napoleon on Elba, and by Napoleon, with a letter for the Bonapartist Committee in Paris. Paris?
Oh, I see.
Wait, there's more. Proof of this crime will be found on arresting him. For the letter will be found upon him or at his father's or in his cabin on board the Pharaoh. There, now your revenge looks like common sense. And no way can it be traced back to you. There's nothing to do now but phone it. So. And address it thus. And that's all settled.
All settled? It will be an infamous shame.
Awake, are you? You're right, an infamous shame, but I'm only joking for it. I should be among the first to be sorry if anything happened to Dantes. And so I crushed the letter, so
what?
Throw it away. Happy now, Caderousse?
Yes. Dantes, my friend, won't have him ill you. Let's have some more drink.
You've already had too much, you drunkard. Drink any more, you'll be unable to stand on your legs.
I can't keep on my legs. Yeah.
Come on, my friend. It's time to go. Give me your arm.
Ooh, up you come. Oh, hot work, this drinking.
Yes, yes.
You're coming, Fennel.
Hmm? No. I shall sit here a while. I wish to think.
Think? More likely to run back after the Catalan.
No, come on. Let Fernand do as he chooses.
Oh, goodbye, Fernand.
Yes. Steady, my friend.
Well, my legs are a little unsteady.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You are very quiet, Edmund, my son.
Hold on. A man cannot always feel happy just because he's about to be married.
Well, the truth is, Father, that I'm too happy today for noisy mirth.
Why, what ails you, Edmund? I should say you were the happiest man alive at this moment.
Well, that's the very thing that alarms me. So much happiness. Oh, I own that I'm lost in wonder at the very thought of being married to Mercedes.
Mercedes is not your wife yet.
Ah, but in an hour and a half from this, she will be as fast and firm as Holy Church can make her.
An hour and a half?
Why? How is that, Edmond?
Oh, thanks to Mr. Morell, we have obtained permission to waive the usual delay.
The very least, Edmond.
So what we have assumed to be the betrothal feast is in fact the wedding breakfast.
No, not at all, my friends. No, tomorrow I start for Paris. I shall be back soon, and then I shall give my real wedding party. You're all invited, of course.
My friends, my friends. On this day, this very happy day, I feel it only fitting that I should be allowed to say a very few words in praise of the bridegroom, our friend Edmond Dantès. Now, I have known Edmond for long enough now to be able to speak with...
Open! In the name of the law!
What is the meaning of this interruption?
I am the bearer of an order of arrest. Who among the persons here assembled answers to the name of Edmond Dantès?
I am Edmond Dantès. Well, what do you want with me?
I have orders to arrest you and deliver you to the office of the deputy prosecutor, Monsieur de Villefort.
Arrest me? But why?
That I cannot tell you, but you will be given the reasons at your first examination. Come along now, quietly. I have men outside.
Oh, Edmond!
Mr. Morel, help her, please.
Of course, yes, Edmond. I suppose this is all part of the trick you thought up yesterday with that paper, eh?
Yes. You know very well I tore it in pieces.
No, you threw it on the floor.
Hold your tongue, you fool.
My friends, wait for me here, all of you. I will go with Edmond and find out what this nonsense is all about.
Come along now, Dante.
Oh, Edmond, I beg you. Oh, do not go.
My dear. Goodbye. This is some mistake. Some misunderstanding. Oh, believe me. We shall soon be together again.
I'll wait for you, Edmond. I'll wait for you.
The prisoner, Monsieur de Villefort.
Very well. Leave us.
Yes, monsieur.
Who and what are you?
my name is Edmond Dantès. I'm mate of the Pharaon, belonging to the firm of Morel and Son.
Your age?
19, sir.
What were you doing at the moment you were arrested?
I was at the festival of my marriage, monsieur.
Were you indeed?
Yes, monsieur. I'm about to marry a girl I've been courting for 3 years.
Continue, sir.
What would you have me say?
I would have you give me all the information you can.
Oh, yes, of course, sir. But what information can I give you?
Have you served under the usurper, Napoleon?
No, sir.
It is reported that your political opinions are extreme.
Oh, alas, I never had any political opinions. I'm barely 19. I love my father, I respect Monsieur Morel, and I adore Mercedes. This, sir, is all I can tell you.
Tell me, have you any enemies?
Enemies? Oh, I'm not important enough to have enemies, sir.
But you may have excited some jealousy. After all, you're about to become a captain at 19. You're about to marry a pretty girl who loves you. These two pieces of good fortune may have excited the envy of someone.
Well, monsieur, you know men better than I do, and what you say may be the case. But I prefer not knowing them, because then I should be forced to hate them.
You are wrong. You should always strive to see clearly around you.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, you seem a worthy young man, and so I will depart from the strict line of my duty to help you to discover the author of the accusation against you. Here is a letter denouncing you.
Oh?
Read it.
Yes, sir. The public prosecutor is informed by a friend of the throne and religion, one Edmond Dantès. A letter for the Bonapartist committee in Paris? Monsieur, what does this mean?
Do you know the writing?
No, monsieur. Oh. I'm very fortunate to be examined by such a man as you, sir, for this envious person is a real enemy.
Now, answer me frankly. Is there any truth in this accusation?
None at all. I will tell you the real facts. When we left Naples, Captain Leclerc was attacked with a brain fever. Feeling he was dying, he called me to him. My dear Dantès, he said, when I'm dead, you will assume command and sail to the Isle of Elba.
Elba?
Yes, sir. When you get there, ask for the Grand Marshal and give him this packet. In return, you will be given a letter and charged with a commission. Well, I will do what you ask, Captain, I replied. And 2 hours later, he was delirious. And the next day, he died.
What did you do then?
Well, what anyone would have done in my place. Everywhere, the last requests of a dying man are sacred. But among sailors, sir, the last requests of his superior are commands. So, when we arrived at Elba, the Grand Marshal questioned me concerning the captain's death, and then gave me a letter to deliver to a person in Paris.
I see. And what of this letter?
Well, I intended to start for Paris tomorrow to deliver it.
Well, this seems to me to ring true. If you have been culpable, it was imprudence, and the imprudence was legitimized by the orders of your captain.
Oh, sir, so I do...
Give me this letter, and give me your word of honor that you will appear should you be required. Then return to your marriage feast and join your friends.
Oh, I'm free. Oh, thank you, monsieur.
The letter.
Oh, you have it already, sir, for it was taken from me with those others that you have before you.
Stop one moment. To whom is it addressed?
Addressed? Why, to Monsieur Noirtier, Rue Coqueron, Paris.
Monsieur Noirtier, Rue Coqueron, Paris.
Yes, do you know him?
A faithful servant of the king does not know conspirators.
It is a conspiracy, then? Oh, sir, I assure you I was ignorant of the contents of the letter.
Yet you remember the address.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, have you shown this letter to anyone?
Oh, to no one, on my honour.
Hmm. One moment while I read it.
Yes, sir.
You give me your word that you are ignorant of the contents of this letter.
Oh, yes, sir. What is the matter? Are you unwell? Shall I ring for assistance?
Stay where you are. I regret to say that I alone am no longer able to restore you immediately to liberty.
Oh?
I must consult with my superiors. But you see how I behave towards you.
Oh, indeed, sir. You've been rather a friend than a judge.
Well, then, I must detain you just a little longer.
Yes, sir.
Now, the principal charge against you is this letter, which you were to take to Paris, which I will now burn.
So...
thus, I destroy the only proof existing against you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, listen to me. I shall detain you until this evening in the Palais de Justice. Should anyone else interrogate you, do not breathe one word of this letter.
I promise.
The letter is destroyed. You and I alone know of its existence. Should anyone, ever question you, deny all knowledge of it.
Oh, fear not, I will deny it, I swear.
Good. Very good.
Yes, monsieur.
A private word with you.
I understand, monsieur.
Now, Dantès, follow him.
Oh, yes, monsieur. I once again thank you. Yes. Thank you, sir.
So, Napoleon is to return to France. This letter, which might have ruined me, will make my fortune. I must leave at once for Paris. Such an opportunity may never occur again in my lifetime. As for Dantès, it's a pity. A great pity.
What can have happened to Egmont? Oh, why has there been no word? What is happening? And where's Fernand gone?
Have patience, Mercedes. This is all some stupid mistake, I'm sure.
I have it. Huh? I know why they've taken him.
What's that? You know?
Only yesterday, poor Edmond told me that he had a little coffee and tobacco for me.
Well, there, you see. No doubt some officious customs officer went creeping about the ship and discovered Edmond's little treasure. Mm.
Oh, don't cry, my dear. There is still hope.
It's only a trifling matter, after all.
Monsieur Morel is here.
Oh, Monsieur Morel. What has happened? Where is Edmond?
Alas, my friends. This matter is far more serious than I thought.
What are you saying?
I am afraid that Edmond is suspected of being an agent of Bonaparte.
This is not true. They lie.
No! No!
Quickly.
Donglar, you have deceived me.
Quiet, you fool. Or I will not answer for your own safety. Besides, who can tell whether D'Arthez is guilty or innocent? We must wait and see.
Edmond D'Arthez?
Oh, yes. Are you sent to fetch me?
We are.
Ah, by the orders of Monsieur de Villefort.
I believe so. Come on. We have a carriage waiting to take us to the harbour.
The harbour?
Quickly now. There's no time to lose.
But where are you taking me?
It's against orders to tell you.
I don't see the harm in telling him now. You're a native of Marseille and a sailor, D'Arthez, and you don't know where we're headed.
Oh. Well,
look around you.
What? Why? Not the Chateau d'If. Oh, no, I'm not going there. I've committed no crime. It's only madmen and politicals who go there.
Very steady there.
Am I to be tried there? Are there judges, magistrates at the Chateau d'If?
There's only a governor, warders, and good thick walls.
Well, I'm going to be imprisoned there. Without a trial, without any formalities.
But all the formalities have been gone through.
But what of Monsieur de Villefort? He promised.
Oh, I don't know what he promised you, but I do know that we are taking you to the Chateau d'If.
Never.
Hold him.
Let me go!
Hold him tight now. Well, young man, I disobeyed my first order by telling you your destinations, but I won't disobey my second. If you so much as move, I'll put a bullet through your brain. Row on, you men!
Well, are you more reasonable this morning? It took three of them to hold you when they brought you in last night.
I wish to see the governor. I demand to see the governor.
If you annoy me by repeating the same thing, you won't get any food.
And I shall die of starvation.
Look, what you ask is impossible. But if you're well behaved, you'll be allowed to walk about. And then someday, well, you may meet the governor.
How long shall I have to wait?
Oh, who knows? A month, 6 months, a year?
Oh, no, it is too long. I'm to be married. And my father will starve if I'm not there to support him. I must see the governor at once. At once, Junior.
Don't do it to brood over what's impossible. If you do, you'll go mad, like the mad abbé.
The abbé?
Oh, yes. A fellow inmate. Always offering millions of francs for his freedom. Quite mad.
Listen to me. I'm not an abbé. I'm not mad. I'll make you an offer. I will give you 100 crowns if the next time you go to Marseille, you seek out a young girl named Mercedes and give her a note from me.
If I took your note, I'd lose my place here. It's not worth it.
Well, then, understand this. If you refuse to help me, I will dash your brains out with this stool.
Threat? You certainly are going mad. The abbé began like you. Come on now.
Keep away from me.
Don't be a fool. Put the stool down.
Not until I've seen the governor, or you promise to tell Mercy that I'm here. Keep away. I warn you.
All right. All right. Put down the stool, and I'll take you to see the governor.
You promise. On your honour.
He won't like it, but I've no choice. Now put it down.
Right.
That's the way. Now, follow me.
Oh, God.
Corporal of the guard!
You governor! Yes, you
promised to take hold of him! Quickly now!
You promised to the governor!
Take him below! To the dungeon!
Let Mercedes know I'm here!
To the dungeon! Put the madman with the madman!
Mercedes!
Monsieur Morel, I believe. We have met before.
Oh, yes, sir.
Come nearer, and tell me to what circumstances I owe the honor of this visit.
You not guess, monsieur?
Not in the least. But if I can serve you in any way, I shall be delighted.
Monsieur, do you recollect that a few days before the landing of the Emperor Napoleon, I came to intercede for a young man, the mate of my ship, accused of being concerned in a correspondence with the Isle of Elba? What was then a crime is today a title to favor. In those days, you served Louis XVIII, and you did not show any favor. It was your duty. Today, you serve Napoleon, and you ought to protect the young man. It is equally your duty. I come, therefore, to ask you what has become of him.
What is his name?
Edmond D'Arthez.
Ah. D'Arthez. Let me see. I must consult the register. Are you quite sure you're not mistaken, monsieur?
No, I am not mistaken. I've known him for 10 years. Do you not remember?
I came about 6 weeks ago to beseech your clemency, as I come today to beseech your justice. You received me very coldly. The royalists were very severe with Bonapartists in those days.
Monsieur, I was then a royalist because I believed the Bourbons not only the heirs to the throne, but the chosen of the nation. The miraculous return of Napoleon has conquered me. The legitimate monarch is he who is loved by his people.
I am glad to hear you speak thus. It augurs well for Edmond.
Edmond Dantès. Ah, I have it. A sailor who was about to marry a young Catalan girl. I remember now. It was a very serious charge.
How so?
You know that when he left here, he was taken to the Palais de Justice?
Well?
I made my report to the authorities in Paris, and a week later he was carried off.
Carried off? But what have they done with him?
Oh, he was taken to the fortress of Fenestrelle, I believe. Some fine morning he will return to assume command of your ship.
But how is it that he's not already been set free? It seems to me that the first care of government should be to set at liberty those who have suffered for their loyalty to it.
Do not be too hasty, monsieur. The order for his imprisonment came from high authority, and the order for his liberation must proceed from the same source. And as Napoleon has scarcely been reinstated a fortnight, the letters have not yet been forwarded.
But is there no way of expediting all these formalities, of releasing him?
There has been no sentence.
No sentence?
It is sometimes essential to government to cause a man's disappearance without leaving any traces.
That might have been so under the Bourbons.
It has always been the same, my dear Morel. The Emperor is more strict regarding prison discipline than ever the King was.
What then would you advise me to do?
Petition the Minister.
And will you undertake to deliver my petition?
With the greatest pleasure. Dantès was then guilty, now he is innocent. And it is as much my duty to free him as it was to condemn him.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Monsieur, thank you.
Really, I don't know why the government continues with these tours of inspection. They're quite useless. When you see one prisoner, you see all. Always the same thing. Ill-fed and innocent. Well, now, my dear governor, have you any more for me to see?
Yes, sir. There are still the dangerous and the madmen in the dungeon.
Oh, well, if we must. Oh, who can possibly live here?
There are only two at the moment. A mad abbé and a dangerous political. Hmm.
The abbé, what is his folly?
He fancies he possesses an immense treasure. He belongs to speak to you in private and offer you 5 million francs.
5 million? What is his name?
The Abbé Faria.
Number 27, sir.
Open the door. What a...
Stand up, 27. The governor and the inspector of prisons to see you. Well, number 27, and what do you demand?
Aye, sir. I demand nothing.
You do not understand. I am sent to hear the prisoner's requests.
Ah, that is different. Sir, I am the Abbé Faria. I was for 20 years Cardinal Spada's secretary. I was arrested, I know not why, in 1811. Sir, could you allow me to speak to you in private?
What did I tell you?
What you ask is impossible.
But I wish to speak to you concerning 5 million francs.
The very sum you mentioned. My word, if you had not told me he was mad, I should almost certainly believe what he said.
I am not mad. The treasure exists. Why, I will lead you to it.
Is it far from here?
100 leagues, no more.
Oh, if every prisoner took it into his head to travel 100 leagues.
Are you well fed here?
Swear you will free me if what I tell you proves to be the truth. I will stay here while you go to fetch the treasure.
You do not answer my question?
Nor you mine. Very well. You will not accept my gold. I will keep it for myself. You refuse me my liberty. God will give it to me. Excuse me. I have work to do.
Was he wealthy once?
Well, perhaps he dreamt he was and awoke mad.
More likely.
After all, if he was rich, he would not be here. But enough. Let us see the other one.
Stand up, 34. The governor and the inspector of prisons to see you.
Oh, at last. At last.
Well, have you anything to say to me?
I wish to know what crime I have committed. If I'm guilty, oh, let me be shot. If innocent, then let me be set at liberty.
Are you well fed?
I believe so. It matters little. What matters is that an innocent man should languish in prison, the victim of an infamous denunciation.
You are very humble today. You were not always so. When you first came here, you threatened to kill the warder.
That is true, sir. And I beg his pardon. I was mad.
And you are no longer so?
No, sir. Captivity has subdued me. I've been here so long.
When were you arrested?
The 28th of February, 1815.
And today is June the 30th, 1816. Why, that is not true. Let me see. Why, it's only 16 months.
Only 16 months? Sir, you do not know what it is to spend 16 months in prison. Only 16 months to a man on the point of marrying the girl he adored, who saw an honorable career open before him and who lost all in an instant. A man who is ignorant of the fate of his fiancée, who does not know whether his aged father is alive or dead. Have pity on me, sir. I ask not for indulgence, but a trial. Let me know my crime and my sentence, for this uncertainty is worst of all.
Well, we shall see. This poor devil's plea touches me. You must show me the proofs against him.
Of course, Inspector.
Monsieur, I know that it is not in your power to release me, but you can plead for me. You can have me tried, and that is all I ask.
I shall do what I can. Tell me, who arrested you?
Monsieur de Villefort. See him. Hear what he says.
Monsieur de Villefort is no longer at Marseille.
Oh, then I'm no longer surprised at my detention, since my only protector is removed.
Tell me, had Monsieur de Villefort any reason to dislike you?
None at all. On the contrary, he was very kind to me.
So that I can rely upon the notes he left concerning you?
Oh, certainly, entirely.
That is well. Wait patiently, then. I will do what I can.
Oh, thank God. Oh, at last I shall be set free. A thousand thanks, monsieur. Oh, thank God, thank God.
Do you wish to see the register at once?
Yes. It is not often that I am so impressed by a prisoner's pleas, but this young man's plight has touched me.
Here, then. Here are the papers relating to the prisoner.
Let me see. Yes. Violent Bonapartist. Took an active part in Napoleon's return from Elba. Yes, the greatest watchfulness and care to be exercised. It's a great pity, Edmond Dantès. Had Napoleon been victorious at Waterloo, you would no doubt be free now and a hero. But as it is...
What will you do?
What can I do? These are de Villefort's notes. I will mark the register accordingly. In the case of the prisoner, Edmond Dantès, nothing to be done.
Andrew Sachs was Edmond Dantès, Nigel Anthony was de Villefort, Steve Hodson was Fernand, Geoffrey Matthews was Danglars, Paul Gregory was Carrousse, Leslie Sands was Monsieur Morel, Melinda Walker was Mercedes, and Alan Wheatley was the Abbé Faria in The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Old Dantès was Peter Pratt, the warder and the magistrate, Stephen Hattersley, the inspector of prisons, Alan Dudley, and the prison governor was Michael Tudor Barnes. The Count of Monte Cristo is dramatized for radio in 7 parts by Barry Campbell and directed by Graham Gold.